All right. If you are a little bit aware of the whole, I guess, Christendom or different branches of the Christian faith, or if you have Catholic friends, I had Catholic friends growing up. One of the interesting things that you kind of hear from Catholics or your Catholic buddies is it's called veneration, and it's kind of like idol worship, but then they don't call it idol worship because they're like, we don't worship idols, right? But we venerate. They say veneration is more like we don't worship them, we just kind of like give them props. But then it's not. They worship Mary. Okay? They pray to Mary. Okay, I could say, oh, I don't worship Hunter. But if I pray to Hunter, you should probably question my sanity, right? And my Christian faith, right? In any case, I'm not trying to knock Roman Catholics. There are very good Catholic people out there, like Mother Teresa, right, who went to the places where nobody else would go. However, there are some questionable things that they believe in, one of which is Mary, right? They even have a prayer for Mary, right? Dear Mary, Mother of God, something, 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 blah, blah, blah. Yeah, Hail Mary, Mother of God, full of grace, right? The Lord is with thee, whatever, stuff like that. And so I got 3 points. I don't know if it made it. No, it didn't make it to the 3 points. Three lessons that we want to look at. Mary, the favored one, with a question mark. Okay. Hannah, you writing this down? Mary, the favored one, question mark. Point two, Mary's unworthiness. Okay. And then the third lesson is Jesus came for the humble. Okay. And so, yeah, we can say, oh, those Catholics, they got it wrong. There's another thing that they got wrong. But before we completely dismiss everything that they believe in, I think there is a legit lesson to be learned from Mary. And especially, we're going to focus around Gabriel's greeting when he says, you know, greetings, you favored one. Right? So what the Catholics would say is something that we don't agree with. But we're going to go into all that. Anyway, point number one, Mary, the favored one. Mary, comma, the favored one, question mark, okay? Now, what does all that mean? Again, the Roman Catholic Church would teach us that the reason why Gabriel greets Mary in that way or gives her that title is because of her pre-existing awesome faith, I've read other Catholics say that she didn't have sin. Right? The fact that, and they would say, well, look at her, she was a virgin and all of this stuff. That doesn't mean anything, honestly, right? But the Roman Catholic Church would tell us that Mary is called favored one because she has all of these pre-existing conditions to make her like a super Christian megastar, right? However, like I always tell the youth group students, whenever somebody makes a strong point on what the Bible supposedly says, I would encourage you to be like Jay and say, prove it. Okay? Prove it. Tell me why you have that idea, where you got it from, okay? Because the Bible doesn't really say anything about Mary that we would look at and say, oh, yeah, Mary is a special or a particularly awesome person of faith, right? It doesn't say anything about that. Furthermore, the Bible also says that, according to James 2, that God doesn't show favoritism. Okay? So the fact that the angel Gabriel says, oh, Mary, you are the favored one. It's not a special title, right, at all, in any case. Okay, because the Bible says God doesn't show favoritism. Okay? There is this question of why is Mary the favored one? Why? What does that mean? Why does Gabriel call her that you are a favored one? You have favor from God. Well, we know, number one, that there is no amount of faith that we can have to impress God. Okay? We will never have enough faith that God will say, oh, look at that. Right? Never. So there is no real amount of faith that can really, you know, impress God, especially to the point where God says, oh, I will now allow you to join me in heaven because your faith is impressive. Right? This is not possible. The favored one, my point just died. The favored one idea comes from the fact that Mary, this is point number two, Mary is the humble one. So in contrast to what the Roman Catholic Church would teach in terms of, oh, Mary has this pre-existing awesome faith, the Bible actually paints another picture. Right? The Bible says Mary is actually a very humble person. Right? And we look at John 1, where Nathanael, right? I don't know if y'all, the youth group guys, you guys remember John 1 when we were going over it. Remember when Nathanael is there trying to, his brother's trying to introduce him to Jesus. And then what does Nathanael say, you guys remember? John 1, 46, he says, where's he from? And the guy's like, Nazareth? He's Nazareth? Nothing good comes out of Nazareth. Right? It's kind of like UVA or Duke. Nothing ever good comes out of Duke. Okay? For sure. Alright? Or UVA. Okay? UVA. Nothing ever comes out of UVA. Alright? So Nazareth is kind of like that, right? It's not a, let's just say it's not a good place for you to live. It doesn't really have the best reputation, okay? Furthermore, we also know that Mary is not like a rich girl. It's not like she got, you know, she's living in a mansion, right? And she's young, and she's a woman, okay? So most likely she had little in her bank account. Actually, she probably wouldn't even have a bank account, okay? And she's also a very young girl. She's about, estimates are about anywhere from about 14 to 16 years old at this time, okay? And so Mary is she comes from a very humble place. Furthermore, okay, that's her situation, I guess, right? Furthermore, we also have a picture of her heart, okay? And we see that in picture of her heart. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Picture of her heart in her response to Gabriel, okay? In verse 38. Okay, so the Gabriel comes and goes, hey, guess what? You, though you are a virgin, you are going to have a son, right? And he's going to be all that. And it's going to be awesome, right? And I don't know about you, but, you know, young girl being told by an angel of God that you're going to do X, Y, and Z, it's a little daunting, okay? But look at what Mary says in verse 38. Her response simply is, behold, a bond slave, or a slave, simply, of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. Okay? What we see in verse 38 is Mary's absolute submission. Okay? So what the argument is that she is not a favored one because she has any pre-existing things that she's done, but she's a favored one mainly because she's got nothing to offer to God. You see that? She's a favored one because of her humility. Right? And this is in complete opposite of what the world teaches. The world says, oh, you are a favored one, or you are blessed if you have X, Y, and Z. Right? And you know what? Just like today, back in the day, in Jesus' times, people thought that if you were poor, it was because you were being punished by God for something that you did or your parents did. And if you were rich, they thought that you were being blessed by God for something you did or something your parents did. Okay? And so we see in the Gospel of John, the man born lame, he couldn't walk. Right? And it's one of the few parts in the Bible where the disciples and the Pharisees actually agree. Right? And both groups have the same question to Jesus. They said, whose sin caused this man's lameness or his disability? Him or his parents? And Jesus is like, what? Right? It's pretty ridiculous. Okay? And so Mary, going along with that idea, Mary has no special, you know, amazing, you know, powers of faith or anything like that. She's just a humble girl. And just like that lame guy with the disabled guy, they're like, I got nothing to impress you with. Right? And the key part of that chapter, if you read it, is a very amazing story. The key part of that chapter is the disciples and the Pharisees, they all have theories and ideas. Oh, you know what? I think he's disabled because of this. I think Jesus healed because of this. I think all of this. And in the middle of all these so-called experts, right? The crippled man, all he says is, I don't know. I don't know. And they're like, so what do you know? He's like, all I know is this guy came out of nowhere and he made me walk again. Right? And that's sort of the same kind of heart that Mary has. She's not a high favored one because she brings all of this stuff to the table. She's actually a favored one mainly because she's got nothing to bring except her humility. And we see that in verse 38. And she says, behold, a servant of the Lord. When was the last time we ever heard God's pull or direction or leading to a certain point, and we actually had the guts to say, okay, God, here, when was the last time anybody that you know say, here I am, God, I am your servant, you direct me wherever you want me to go? Because that's one of the hardest lessons in the Christian faith. For me personally, it was, for some reason growing up, I always thought that if I said, God, okay, I will do whatever you want me to do, I firmly believe that God would send me to China or North Korea, and I would get tortured and died. Like, I'll get killed there. Right? Now, that was like my real fear. I literally had that fear all throughout high school. I guess it was my junior year, summer right before my senior year started. It was, for some, you know, God broke me there at that time. And I finally said, okay, God, you know what? I'm tired of fighting you. Wherever you're going to send me, here, there I go. Right? It's not as eloquent as Mary. Right? Mary probably, you know, very gracious. Yes, God, you know, I am your servant. I wasn't like that. I'm like, oh, fine. I'll go. You know, kind of like begrudging. A little bit like Jonah. But, you know, it's a very scary thing to submit to God. And I believe that that is why Mary is called the favored one. Look also with me down in your Bible, down to verses 46 and down. That's what's commonly called the Magnificat. That's just a simple fancy word for the prayer of Mary, okay? Which is mainly because this is what Mary prays after she visits her cousin. And notice what she says in verse 48 and 49. She says, "For he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave." Meaning God noticed my humility. God noticed the humble state, meaning, you know, God noticed that I got nothing to give, right, of his servant. "Behold, from this time all generation will count me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name." All right. And so the lesson number two would be this, that Mary is a favored one because of God. She's not favored because of Mary. Mary is favored because of God. Right? The key is that in our verse 26, it says, Gabriel is sent by God. Right? Luke makes that very specific for a reason. He could have just said, the angel Gabriel went to go look for Mary, the favored one. He could have said something like that, right? But then we'd be saying something totally different, something wrong, right? But what Luke does say is God sent Gabriel to Mary. Mary had nothing in herself to impress God. Mary was, in the eyes of the world, very humble, nothing to offer. And she has found favor, not because of what she brought to the table, but simply because of God's grace. Right? And so that leads us to the third lesson, which is that Jesus came for the humble. He didn't come for the big, bad, rich dudes. He didn't come for the guys who were who always had it together. And hopefully, as you guys are going through the book of John, that's the lesson that we learn. Because that's the big argument. That's basically the main argument that he has with the Pharisees, the Jewish religious leaders. Right? Because they're like, if you are the Savior, if you are the Messiah, you actually should be hanging out with us. We got it all together. We memorized the Bible. We could get together and talk theology. Yeah, it's all good. And Jesus always gets in, kind of, you know, butts heads with them because he's like, no. Right? One of the favorite lines that Jesus throws at them goes, they're like, hey, you need to hang out with us. You need to stop hanging out with these messed up people. And Jesus says what? He says, it's not the healthy that need a doctor, it's the sick. I have come to call the lost. Right? The saved, the so-called people who got it together, you don't need help. Right? And so Jesus comes to Jesus came for the humble. And we see that we're gonna see that in many different ways, but we see that also in you know, again, look at Mary, look at Joseph. Again, they got nothing to bring to God. They got nothing that would make us stand up and say, ah, of course, that would be a perfect choice for God to use. They got nothing on the table. Right? And look at, even also, he was born in a manger. Right? And we look at, you Google manger, Christmas manger or whatever, right? And you got all these like fancy decorations and designs and stuff. Honestly, truth be told, 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, right, a manger, place where they keep animals and horses, I don't know about horses, but, livestock, is literally just a cave. Like a cave or like a hole in the ground, something like that. Okay, it's nothing fancy. It's not like modern day mangers, like a building, It's not. It's like literally just a cave. With a bunch of hay and whatever, and then they'll fence it off, That's literally where Jesus is born. He's born in a hole in the ground. Right? Humility. Wait, I think, and he does that because he wants to show, hey, guess what? I'm here for the humble. Come to me as you are. That's what he's saying. Don't bother cleaning yourself up before you come to me. All the other religions in the world will tell you, you need to clean yourself up before God because God is so clean, God is so holy. Just like, you know, if the president was to randomly visit your house or your school, one of the ways you know that somebody important is coming is, you know, the principal comes out looking a little sharper than usual. Right? I remember, George Allen, when I was in high school, he's a Virginia politician. He was running for like the Virginia Senate or something. Okay, pretty important. And one time in high school, he visited our school on his campaign thing. I really didn't know who he was. I really didn't care, right? But I knew there was someone special coming that day because I saw the principal. And his suit looked a little bit more clean and crisp than usual, right? And I saw my government class teacher, and she looked a little bit more dressed up than usual, right? Not to say that they roll up in jeans and stuff, but, you know. And I was thinking, hey, there must be something happening today, right? And it's, you know. But for Jesus, it's not like that. Jesus says, come to me as you are. Come to me as you are. All the impressive things that you could possibly try to wear doesn't impress me. Come to me as you are. Jesus came for the humble. Jesus came for the lowly, the ones that are overlooked. This is why the gospel is good news. Because it's good news because it goes and speaks to us when we are broken, when we are messed up, in our lowliest and the darkest moments of our lives. Jesus came for the humble also means that Jesus came also for the young ones. Harvard, Stanford, whatever your name is, as much as we make fun of you and beat up on you a little bit, right? Jesus still came for you, specifically, right? Because if Jesus came for you as mighty God floating in the air and glowing in the dark, you'd be a little freaked out, right? Like, what the heck, right? But Jesus came as a little baby. Jesus, from the moment he was born, he got dirty. There was never a moment where Jesus was like clean. Right? Jesus, from the moment he hit planet Earth, he was dirty. He was like us. Came as a little baby, right? Baby is not scary, right? Babies are not scary. They're babies, right? Cute babies, right? So Jesus came for the humble. So this is always dying. So what does that mean for us today? Final conclusion, lesson. The lesson here is simply this. Jesus comes to us. He doesn't ever ask us to come to him. He's the one that comes seeking out. Right. Look at our call to worship, Luke chapter 2. Right. This is the angels announcing to the shepherds that the king is here. Notice how this is never, you know, hey, you need to come to God. There's none of that stuff. Christmas story is, you know, we're so like used to it, I guess, so we're desensitized. But if you actually, like, if you look, try to read the Christmas story, with no preconceived ideas, and you just come to, just go there and just read it like you're reading it for the first time, it's an amazing story. Because it tells us, it shows us of a God who's coming to us. He doesn't wait for us to take the first step. He takes the first step. Right? And it shows us a God who is not afraid to get dirty. It shows us a God who's not afraid to get some dirt under his fingernails, dirt on his knees, you know? And so that is the lesson of Mary. And so because Jesus came for the humble, we, like Mary, can be known as favored ones. You know what that means, to be favored by God? It means to be blessed by God, or to find special favor with God. And according to the Bible, the ones who have special favor with God are basically those who are his children. Simply put, like, I like little babies, but I especially like mine, right? Because he's a favored one, right? I like little people. They're cute. They do funny things. But I especially like mine, right? Because he's my kid. It's the same thing. God loves humanity, but the special favored ones, if you will, are those who are especially called, those who, through Christ, he has saved. We are the favored ones. Let's pray.